I don't know if it's a pro or a con. It is, you know, and of course it happened this way. You know, we know them well. They know us well. It's three straight weeks of a early week series. It's going to be fun. It's always fun when we play Detroit, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, they played them 13 times in the regular season. The Guardians won 8 of the 13 games, so 8-5 against the Tigers. And remember, you know, the Tigers were kicking everybody's you-know-what for most of the season. I mean, they looked like the team. And then they went flat, and the Guardians didn't. And the Guardians make up 15.5 games. That's the scary thing for me in this, Dan. I think the Tigers are a much better team than the way they finished. And, you know, now you can make the argument the other way. If they were a really good team, they wouldn't have fallen flat like they did. That said, I wonder if they stay flat or if they find it. And it's a 3-game series. If they can find it, they could make a great run, because I think they have some real talent. If they can't find it, Guardians win this thing.
Without question. I mean, I wonder the same thing. I mean, averages are averages. We all know that. You know, we've all seen it enough times where you get the guy who starts super red hot in the first half of the season and then cools off. Team works the same exact way. I wonder the same thing that you are, where it's like, it can't possibly be as bad as it was in August and September for the Tigers. Like,
I can't imagine that it will be.
I don't think Javi Baez is going to hit at the level that he did in the first half. Javi Baez was insane for the Tigers in the first half, and he completely fell off a cliff.
What a bust that whole signing has been for the support team. I feel bad for him in that regard, because I don't like to see players fail, and Javi Baez was phenomenal with the Cubs, and it just hasn't been the same in Detroit.
It's what happens when you get guys who swing and miss a whole bunch and don't walk. I mean, it was a reason why he was out there for as long as he was. It was one of the last signings of Mr. Ilitch before he passed away, and they're stuck with that contract until it's done. You know, it's one of the ways that stuff goes. But, like, I still think Spencer Torkelson can hit for the Tigers. I still think Kerry Carpenter is really good. Riley Green has shown you he's really good.
What a season. He's had the season that they've been waiting for him to have.
Yeah. There's enough. Dylan Dingler, outside of the fact that I keep wanting to think that he's the name of the main character from Boogie Nights every single time he comes up, I keep thinking that he's Mark Wahlberg's character, but he's been hitting the cover off the ball as well, especially out of the catcher position.
Which is, you know, congratulations.
I want to call him Dirk Diggler every single time.
Do you?
Every single time I want to call him Dirk Diggler.
Well, the folks in Jackson Township wouldn't be real happy with you about that.
Oh, I feel bad.
Wouldn't be happy.
Every time I want to call him Dirk Diggler.
Number to join us, 216-474-0092. It's the best of three. Guardians against the Tigers. Matt, I hope you're on your way to the game. Welcome to the show.
What's happening, Matt?
So unfortunately, I'm working today. I'm on a break, but yeah, and that's honestly what I want to talk about. Like most, there's a certain part of me that whoever wins a series, obviously I'm hoping the Guards win, but I'm hoping that whoever wins a series comes out and absolutely floors everyone and makes it to the World Series. I'm hoping the Reds and Brewers, like one of those two teams, makes it to just to stick it to the MLB for the stupid scheduling. Like, the fact we're playing today at 1 o'clock when,
it's,
you know,
ridiculous.
Everyone...
It's ridiculous.
I'm sorry, and I know it's going to sound, you know, like potentially anti-Cleveland, but like whoever comes out of this series, whether it be Cleveland or Detroit, obviously hoping for the Guards, I hope they absolutely clean the clock out of everyone, and Manfred has to stare at this Guards ball for the next full month. So let's go Guards. Let's shut up the national media. Shut up stick it to ESPN. Stick it to MLB. Stick it to Fox. And you know, let's make a run for it. We can hold off our Christmas ownership until after the season. But you know, right now it's you know, I hate to use the stereotypical Cleveland against the world, but right now it's Cleveland against the world.
All right, Matt, thank you very much. We understand. I understand why this is scheduled the way it is. But I hate it. Here's the thing. If you're a baseball fan and you have no job and the ability to do this, you can turn on your television at 1 o'clock and watch baseball until about midnight tonight.
As someone who has a job, I will probably do that.
There it is. So that,
I have a problem,
that can happen. You can be watching baseball for 12 hours today. However, does that serve the fan base of the teams involved very well? I don't think it does. You know, I'm not going to be able to watch all the game on TV. I'll have some of it on here in the studio during the 1 o'clock hour. I'll drive home. Anyhow, 1 o'clock's a tough time to watch a game during the week. However, they're not catering it to the folks in the ballpark. They're catering it to the television networks and the money that gets generated by that. I understand that. It just stinks because we're the team playing at 1 o'clock.
Would you have taken one of those Cubs-Padres games, which are being played at Wrigley, and played it at noon Chicago time?
You could have, except for one thing. Now you have a balance, and every team that's in the postseason here in the wildcard round is able to completely schedule things. There's going to be no short turnaround, and that's part of it. So they're on the same schedule for three straight days. I get that. That's probably better. You know, like if you were playing, if the Cubs had to turn around and play tomorrow and, you know, be back at the ballpark earlier than they will be today and everything else, is that fair to them? Eh. I mean, they do it during, you know, they do it
Saturday. During the season anyway.
Right. They do it during the season. Do you want to do it in the postseason? I don't like the way this is. I don't like the 1 o'clock games for our team. But I understand why they did it, because they want wall-to-wall baseball on television during these 3 days. I get it.
And they want to make Yankees-Red Sox as close to prime time as humanly possible, because the minute that ESPN got that and realized that Toronto was not going to be in there, they just immediately started drooling on themselves. I mean, if you listen closely, you could probably still hear Rob Manfred drooling on himself.
I couldn't agree with you more. And then you get Shohei Ohtani as well.
And then you get Shohei Ohtani
and the Dodgers. Yep, followed up with that. Steve's in Cleveland. Steve.
What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. Go Cards.
Go Cards, baby.
I'm not worried about any of this. This is all house money, guys. We didn't expect them to do what they're doing, especially when you look back in July and August. You're like, you know what? If they make it as a wild card, we'll be lucky. And look, they're not the wild card. We're hosting the thing.
Yeah.
So everything we do is you know, house money. So I have no problems with it. And if you look just in history, guys, when teams are you say they're down and out and they can't do, yeah, granted, majority of the time they fail, but this could be the year. I mean, just everything's lining up. No one would expect them. It reminds me of like Butler. Butler that played and won the championship. Nobody expected him to come and do that. That these things happen in life. No one can explain them, but it happens. And this could be the year.
Stranger things have happened, Steve. And I say that because it did this year. As you just said, house money. I get it. That's exactly what's going on. Stranger things have happened. They were down 15.5 and they won the division. That's stranger than putting together a postseason run and winning some playoff series, which you're very capable of doing with the pitching that this team has, Dan.
Absolutely. They're going to keep you in every single game. I don't see a situation where one of these games even ends up seriously as a blowout. I mean, they've had that.
It shouldn't, but you know how pitching can go.
Of course. You've had that streak going for so long with the starters, and Parker Messick ruined it. Why? Because he went 7 innings and gave up like 4 runs, which you'll take any day of the week.
Yes.
Like, that's the part of this that's so funny, is it's like, oh my gosh, he didn't allow less than 2 runs at a start. It's like, yeah, no kidding, because he's human.
What did it end at? 19 games?
Something like that. Yeah, 19 games, I believe it was. And it was just because, a starter gave up 4 runs. Guess what? That happens every single day in Major League Baseball, that a starter gives up 4 runs. Like, Clayton Kershaw's given up 4 runs. Shohei Ohtani's given up 4 runs. Hunter Green's given up 4 runs. You know, Scooble's given up 4 runs at a start. Like, this happens all the time. It is amazing what they've been able to do, and I think it's going to continue. I think we are going to have really tight nail-biter games throughout this entire Tiger series.
And that's okay.
It fits right into what the Guardians want to do, man.
Exactly. And remember, they were in this situation last year, and Stephen Vogt, in his first year as manager, had him in the postseason. Here's what he had to say about this team in the postseason and knowing kind of what's going on.
It's just fun. Like, you can't take any of these opportunities lightly or for granted. It is so difficult to get into the postseason. And I think now, having done it once, you kind of know what to expect. You kind of know how fast it goes. You know that anything can happen at any moment, and just be prepared for it. Trust our preparation and go out and have fun.
That's the thing. When you play a full season, 162 games, and you get into the postseason, even in the expanded playoff format, which I don't care for very much because you played 162, you know who the better teams are. But when you get there, I mean, that's a reward. And as Steve said, this is bonus baseball, but it's bonus baseball for everybody. It really is. And the grind is getting there. And I've always thought the big prize, and unfortunately it's not the way it works, the big prize is, did you end up with the best record in the regular season? Well, to me, that usually shows you're the best team. Usually. Sometimes not. You know, maybe there are injuries or something else and you get guys back. But you don't get it. You don't get anything for that. You get a, hey, congratulations, now you get a best of three or a best of five and then a best of seven. Hmm? So, and you've got to do it all over again. But you get there and you get in. And once you're in, Dano, once you're in.
Who knows? I have your postseason roster for the Cleveland Guardians, if you would like it.
All right, let's hear it.
The big part of this, worth paying attention to, George Valera made the roster. Petey Halpin made the roster.
Petey made the roster.
Petey's on the roster. Jonathan Rodriguez. Chase DeLauder on the roster.
He's on the roster.
On the roster for the wild card series. They kept 15 position players, 11 pitchers.
And they can reset the roster after the first series.
Correct. Your pitchers, Gavin Williams, Tanner Bibee, Slade Ciccone, Cade Smith, Hunter Gaddis, Sobrowski, Festa, Heron, Junis, Cantillo, and Kobe Allard.
So Logan Allen is not on the roster.
Logan Allard not on the roster. Wow. Parker Messick not on the roster.
Okay. You understand that because it's a three-game series. You're going to need three starters. They chose to go with guys who weren't starting pitchers. Kobe Allard in the long relief role. Mm-hmm. Kobe did a nice job.
He did. He's looked very good for them. Yeah. I don't know where I would go differently. I don't know what I would look at differently at this point. There's nobody really available. I mean, I've made it known I am not the biggest Matt Festa fan. Tim Heron still makes me want to bite some of my fingernails off, but he's been way better in the month of September. Like, I have no notes on this. This is probably the direction I would go. Everybody else that is on the position player side is who you would expect. It's Bo Naylor, Austin Hedges, Kyle Manzardo, Junkenzie Noel is on the postseason roster. CJ Kafis, Jose Ramirez, Stephen Kwan, Angel Martinez, Brian Rocchio, Gabe Arias, Daniel Schneeman, and then Valera Help and Rodriguez DeLauder. So that's what you're looking at on the position player side, which to me screams, buckle in, kids. You've watched guards ball with hockey line changes every single time the arm of the pitcher changes. Be prepared. You're going to need a lot of slots on that official scorebook.
Can I just throw this one at you? This is where this offense is. You're in a three-game series, winner take all. You know, you lose, you go home. They've put a guy who's never played in the major leagues and is injury prone and really didn't find his swing all season long on the roster. And in the first game, you're going up against Tarek Skubal. So you've got a left-handed starter, Chase DeLauder. If he starts, I'd be stunned. But you've got a left-handed hitter, and you put him on a three-game run, and you're going up against Skubal. And he's never played in the major leagues, and he's on the playoff roster.
Sixth player in the modern era to make his debut in the playoffs.
That's where the offense is. Guess what? Everything they've done so far this year has worked well enough that they're playing extra baseball. So God bless them. What do you think of that move, folks?